And we deserve none of it. But this song is based on your goodness, not who we are. And we are grateful that we are the recipients of that goodness. God, as we study today, I pray you open our hearts and our minds. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we go through our study, before I start, Eric came to me and he says, Pastor, the presentation's about 8 to 10 minutes. Is that okay? I said, I have no problem. You take 10 minutes of my time, I'll just keep going. You're dying, ain't no big deal. We're going to go through a study this morning, and it's ironic. I didn't say nothing to the men there at the weekend, but we're in Galatians. We're studying through Paul's defense of his authority and the truth of the God when he says it's Christ alone. And because it's Christ alone, he was bombarded with the Judaizers who would come in and they would try to say, listen, you got to be circumcised. You got to have all these things. And listen, they had some pull and they had some power because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were what we would call in the back pocket of the Roman government. And they scratched each other's back, if we would put it that way. And they were able to say, you know, we got to listen to these guys because they've got some connections. Paul, he didn't care what connections you had because his connection was God. He knew that was enough. And so when you look at this morning, we're going to go into chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. And the title is Fear Changes Things. And that's all we heard about all weekend was the fear and the anger and how you get spend time with God. And so in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, alive, this is gonna go well. This is going to fit well. Because we have one of those but moments in Peter's life. And Peter, in fact, Eric and I were talking, if you do a study of all the patriarchs and all the men of the Bible, you will find all of them have had one of these moments in their life. And we were trying to think, even Abraham, you know, when he was told, go into a land I will show you. He walked the mountain, sacrifice your son Isaac. He walked the mountain. But even in his faithful life, when he approached the king and said, Sarah's my sister, so that he didn't get his neck sliced and the king take his wife. Every one of us, I don't care who you are, I don't care how religious you think you may be. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what you're doing for God. You've had a but moment. But God, but I can't. But, and we're going to see Peter's but moment, and we're going to see how you and I confront error with truth in the midst of a fear changes thing. So as we look into the text this morning, we find there's going to be three things we're going to look at. And as we look at this, first of all, Paul explains the choice Peter made. And it's very important to see the fear of Peter and what it had done to those around him. Second thing we're going to see is Paul confronts Peter, how he confronts him and how he just goes not after him, but we're also going to see the reasons why he does that, and very important. We're going to see Paul shares the difference of Christ alone. Folks, we're living in a world, and I don't have to explain our world. I don't have to tell you how bad our world is. I don't have to tell you how religion has come in and dumbed down Christ alone. Our lives, we understand them to be needed to be lived, very important. It's very important that you and I understand Christ alone, but how do you live that out? How do you continue to live in a world where it's Christ alone into a world that says, no, it's not? Even Peter, one of the founders of the apostleship, one of the three that Christ loved the most, he has a but moment. He has a moment where his fear was greater than his God. You ever been there? Oh, that was, listen, y'all got a nice smile, but y'all lie too, okay? Sorry. Listen, all of us have had those moments where the fear in our heart, go back 3 years and tell me you didn't have a fear greater than your God. When that little virus, the pandemic come around. Man, we as Christians folded like napkins, didn't we? We all did, to a certain point, we all did. And so when you look at that, we all had those moments where the fear in our heart, the fear in our lives, begin to override how big our God is. And so when we look at this text, first of all, we find in verse 11, This isn't the but moment, by the way. Verse 11. But when Peter, but when Peter comes to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of circumcision. And so what we find in the very beginning of this, Paul explains his choice. And what he says, first of all, is Peter's visit to Antioch. There is no mention of this visit in the Acts, the book of history. It's not marked down for us when this event happened. Many believe that it was just after Paul, Barnabas, and Titus left Jerusalem and went to Antioch. Peter then followed them, but there's no record of this visit. But it happened. It's a guaranteed visit. And so Paul begins to explain. When he came to Antioch, it was interesting. Because the next thing he says, Peter's choice out of fear. Look at verse 12. Before that certain came from James. That certain is the group of circumcised Judaizers. Before that group came, Peter, you lived your life like this. But out of fear of them, Peter, you now did this. And we're going to see what that is all about as we go down through. So he explains in verse 12 that, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of circumcision. That's why we know that certain means them of circumcision. They came from where James was at, or from the James teaching. And he basically said, first of all, in the latter part, the first part of that, he did eat with the Gentiles. You see, Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, we find Peter having a vision from God with all these animals coming down that were forbidden by God in the Old Testament for them to eat. And so he has this vision, and God says, don't you dare call unclean what I call clean. Take that to heart, okay? Don't look at some of the people around you in the world and say, man, are you, wow. Why did you do all that? How did you get all that? Don't you dare call anybody unclean when God says, listen, they're clean. They're one of mine. They're one of mine. Isn't it great? I am so glad that we all don't look alike. Whew. Listen, us guys can all put on the same t-shirt. And I sat down there by Kim and I leaned over and I said, is that my dad in the picture? Man, I look so much like my dad. It scared. No, he's a good man. But anyway, he scared me. So when we look at this, we don't look the same. We have things going on outside our lives. We have made choices in our life that has led us into circumstances and led us into situations that some people look at and say, you're unclean. You can't serve God. You got too many tats. I'm going to tell you what, those tats made them who the godly man or woman they are. They have a life. They have a journey. The only problem now is that people like to wear them on their sleeves. Because you've got tats too. Your heart has been tatted with this world just as much as anybody's arm. I'm convinced of that. Because you and I need to realize that we live in a world that is hard to live in. Peter, a solid rock. Little Peter, little stone, that's his name. God gave it to him. He was a solid man of God and he folds here. Isn't it amazing? I mean, Peter, how would you? Peter was the bull in the china shop. Peter was the man who just took care of everything. And we find in verse 12 that he ate with the Gentiles, which means everything was good. We're all one. Jew, Gentile, we're all the same. But, how big was his but? Here's the but. When they came or come, he withdrew and separated from the Gentiles. Why? He was afraid of those other circumcised people. He was afraid of the other Jews. Paul folded. And what did that mean to the truth of the Word of God? What was Peter saying without saying? Y'all need to be circumcised. Was that not the whole battle Paul was trying to fight? The whole message Paul was trying to fight is you don't need to add anything to the salvation message of Christ. It's Christ, Christ alone. And because it is Christ alone, circumcision has nothing to do with it. Peter, you backed away. You gave them a billboard message that God lied. Christ was not enough. Right? No wonder Paul got upset. No wonder Paul confronted Peter. And so we find out in this realm that Peter's choice out of fear moved him away from. But interesting enough, look what the result of Peter's choice is. Verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also carried away with their dissimulation or their hypocrisy. That word there, dissimulation, hypocrisy. Barnabas. Come on, he was the pillar of the old or the book of Acts, right? He's the one that took John Mark. He's the one that was with Paul. He's the one that went on the missionary journeys. What's wrong with these guys? Can't they stand up for anything? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Why can't we stand up when we know the truth of the Word of God? We live the truth of the Word of God. Something happens around us at the workplace. Something happens around us in the family. Something happens in the circumstance of life. And all of a sudden we're like, well, yeah. And the result of that was the other Jews backed off too, including Barnabas. Do you realize the ripple effect of your decisions in life? Do you realize when you make a choice, there's a ripple that affects everybody around you? Good, bad, or otherwise. And so when Paul sees this, when Paul addresses this, he said, this hypocrisy, what are you doing? Verse 14 says, but when I saw, I is Paul, when I saw them walk away, I didn't sit very well. Let me read the Word of God. That was my deal. It wasn't very good. Why? Because every one of those Jews in that moment in Antioch sent a wrong message to the Gentiles. Paul said, what are you doing to me? We all agreed about this in Jerusalem. We all agreed that they did not need to be circumcised, but they needed to, what? Fend for the poor, take the offerings up for the poor. We saw that in the beginning of his argument in the first chapter. And so when he comes at this and the result of all these people, Paul says, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth. Paul confronts Peter. The reason for the confrontation, Paul's not saying, listen, Peter, I'm better than you. I didn't fall. I didn't buckle. I didn't sin. Peter, you are sinning. He didn't judge Peter. He just reminded him of what he did. Is there a big difference between that? Can I get a witness? Amen. Something out of y'all today? Man, you got a hard, rough crowd today. Yes, there's a huge difference between me coming to you and say, you are wrong, you are a sinner, you shouldn't do, or, listen, let me remind you something. Do you remember when we understood this back in Jerusalem? Do you remember what Christ did? See, that's how Paul addresses it. He addresses it just like Christ did on his earthly ministry. He addressed it by asking them questions. And we'll see that as we go through this morning. The reason for the confrontation was very clear. He saw them not uprightly or walking not uprightly according to what? The truth of the gospel. It's not about the circumcision, Peter. It's about Christ alone. When did you miss that? Fear. One of the things that he had mentioned, we're going to expound on this a little bit tonight. So you have to come up and get that tonight. You'll have to get the lesson tonight. But anyway, the fear, always, when you live in fear, it diminishes the truth. Period. Hey, no justification to that. When you have a fear in your life, it will diminish the truth that you know. And what are you going to make your choices out of? You want to make your choices out of the truth, you're going to make them out of the truth. But if you have fear, you're going to make them out of the diminished truth. And most of the time, it's going to be a wrong choice. Most of the time, it's going to be the wrong thing to choose in your life. So the reason was no other than Paul saw them walking not uprightly, not to the truth of the gospel message. So then we find, again, Paul's stinging rebuke. And here's what he tells Peter. I said unto Peter, verse 14, I said unto Peter before them all, notice that. As in, Paul didn't say, come here, Peter, we need to have a talk. No, Paul said, Peter, you did this openly. You walked away from all of them. We're dealing with this publicly. We're going to deal with this openly. That's important, isn't it? Sometimes we're afraid to just in the moment say, hey, wait a minute. We all need to know this. We all need to see this. Paul dealt with him openly in here. He says, in front of, I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of a Gentile, and not as do the Jews, why compellest or why ask them that the Jews to live as do the Jews? Gentiles live as the Jews. He simply asked him a question. Peter, why would you want to change who you are to live like a Gentile? Would you do that, Peter? No. Then why are you asking them to live like you, a Jew? And he gives a stinging rebuke. And in this stinging rebuke, we find no response from Peter. Don't miss that. Any of you guys have different translations that says Peter said? None of you should. If your translation says Peter said, throw the Bible away, okay? Because he didn't. He didn't say anything. Why? What could he say? What could he say? Peter knew that for him to back away from the Gentiles was a billboard statement about you need to be circumcised. When confronted with that in a non-judgmental way, he had nothing to say. He knew Paul was right. He knew, listen, how do you confront error with truth? Just like this. Just like this. You don't judge a man's heart. You ask him some questions about what he already knows, about what he already believes in, about all those things. He'll listen, do you think God's big enough to stir the heart of somebody to understand? We don't need to be the junior Holy Spirit in somebody's life. We just need to say, listen, you already, Peter, you already, would you do that, Peter? And God did the rest. And God shut Peter up. Isn't that great? You know why? Because Peter and Paul could be friends after this. When you judge somebody's heart with a judgmental spirit, you might as well kiss the friendship goodbye. Thus, we have so much separation in God's house today. We have so much disunity in the family of God today. Because I think one of the main issues is because we don't know how to address people. We judge them before we try to help them. Best thing we can do is steer them towards Christ. Let Christ do the changing. Let him take the heart and make it right. So Paul's stinging rebuke was very clear to Peter. And then what we find is that Paul explains Christ alone again. And he does the same thing in Romans 3, 19 and 20. He says in verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? And all church, God's people said, God forbid. God forbid that we blame Christ for our sin. That's not justified, that's justification. Two different worlds. And so when we look at this, we see Paul's stating to Peter, Peter, your fear changed everything. Peter, in your life, Peter, in the Jews around you, Peter, in Barnabas, Peter, you in the Gentiles, you changed everybody around you because you had some fear in your life. And listen, guys, we change everything in our personal world when fear takes over. That's exactly what Pastor Scully was saying. And David, and we're going to expound that again tonight a little bit. We're going to go back and see how he broke it apart. It's phenomenal out of Samuel tonight. How David never ran from Goliath, but he ran from Saul. And what made David run was his Goliath of life. And so Paul, Peter, come on. Peter, what are you doing? Paul had every right. And again, he explains the importance of Christ alone. Very, very important about Christ being alone. Verse 19, the third part of this, we see Paul shares the difference of Christ alone. Verse 18 to 21. For if I build again, verse 18, things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He justified by faith, not by works. Verse 19 says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So what he's saying, what did Paul do with the law? Paul said, I died to the law. I am no longer allowing the law to tell me how good I am. Listen, you go out in our world today and you ask them, listen, how are you going to get to heaven? Well, I hope I'm good enough. That's the law. I hope my good will outweigh my bad. It's not going to happen. I don't care how good you are now. You had some bad. And the problem with that is you don't even have to do anything wrong. Just be born. Because listen, that sinful nature comes to the seed of man and you're born a sinner. You don't have to do anything wrong. Even though when you have a young child, you guys listening to this, right? When you have a young baby, you never have to tell them no. They got that. Automatically they get that. Don't touch that. Oh yeah. Psh. Why? That's the sin nature we're born with. We're not born with doing it right. We're born with doing it wrong. And you know what? You'll spend the rest of your life trying to train them to do it right. Why? Because that's saved by grace. And I've said it many times. I am a sinner. You are a sinner saved by grace. My choices through my day will tell you whether I'm the sinner or saved by grace. My choices I make every day will tell you which one's winning, which one's coming out of me, because you're not going to lose your sinful nature this side of heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15, when it says the corruptible must put on incorruption and the mortal must put on immortality, there's a major change that goes on. There's a major change that goes on. And when we get to heaven, listen, we're not going to have the same mind. Thank you, God. Man. We're not going to look down on the earth and we're not, listen, you're not going to take any questions you have today to heaven. How many of you have got questions for God? We all do, right? When you get there, you know what? It ain't going to matter. You're there, he's there, and you're down. You ain't going to ask him nothing. But you see, when we look at what Paul did, Paul said, listen, this is what I did with the law. I died to it. Folks, we need to die to the law. We need to die to thinking we're good enough. Every day, we need to spend time with God. We need to say, you know what, God? I'm good right now because I just woke up. Give me 10 minutes. Give me an hour. Give me part. Listen, we need God every day. We must die to the law. You know what Paul said? Look at verse 20. Very familiar verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not yet I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And what Paul said, the results of Paul's life is he said, I died to self. That's the law. When you want to live your life and try to be good enough, you're living by the law. And what the law does is say, has all the eyes. See all the eyes in there? I can do it. I can manage. I can handle it. I can be. No, you can't. Paul comes to the realization that I am crucified with Christ. I died. Romans 6 says the same thing. We were buried with him, raised to the newness of life. How's that working for you? Have you crucified yourself? Please don't take that literally. I'm not talking about crucifying yourself, okay? I'm talking about spiritually. Have you come to God and said, listen, God, you know what? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I am going to be eliminated from the picture. I want you to live in me. It's exactly what Paul said. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Do you have Christ living in your life today? What does that look like? How do you see that? How many times of the day does the I get resurrected and the Christ is not? What decisions, what choices are you making? What things are going on in your life that you can prove you're either a sinner that day or that moment, or you're saved by grace? What decisions are you making? You see, the result of Paul's life, he died. He was crucified. And nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me, but which now I live in the flesh. Listen, it's still me. I'm still here. I'm still living. Paul says, listen, it's me, and I'm going to die someday, but while I live in this flesh, I've mentally, spiritually made a choice that I am not going to take the law, you circumcised Jews, and add anything to what Christ is doing in my life. Man, if we could live that, if we could live that surrendered life to Christ, do you know how well our world would be? Do you know how well our community would be? Do you know how well our church would be? Do you know how well your homes will be? Living the surrendered, crucified life of Christ. Paul said, it's no wonder, back up in verse 14, Paul said, when I saw them walking unright, according to the truth of the gospel. I ain't putting up, nope, it ain't going to happen. Peter, you need to understand. He did it in a way, again, confronting truth with error by just reminding them of the truth, not judging them of their error, but reminding them of their truth. So we go on to verse 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Ouch. Do you get that? How many of you today have frustrated the grace of God? Think about that. I know if you have small children, I know you have. Just getting here to church is a whole battle. But how many of you have frustrated? How do you frustrate the grace of God? Resurrect the I. Resurrect the me. Resurrect the one who's trying to make it work without Christ. And you'll frustrate the grace of God. Paul says, listen, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Why is our world not believing Christ could do anything? Because his children have resurrected the me. His children have resurrected the I. I can do this. I don't need to spend time with God. I don't need to spend time in my Bible. I don't need to serve God. I don't need to listen when God asks me to do things. I don't need to do that. I got my agenda. I got my portfolio to build so I can retire. I got my things that I got to enjoy. And all of a sudden, when we look at this, we see, wait a minute. I just frustrated the grace of God in my life because I resurrected the me. I resurrected the me. Why do we resurrect the I? Maybe it's like Peter. Maybe you fear. Maybe you got a fear going on somewhere in your life. It's very important because what we give the world, just like, with this we close, we're going to get into our takeaways. Just like Peter, do you realize the billboard message you gave the Gentiles when you started it? The Jews followed, Barnabas followed, everybody walked away from them, everybody separated from them. Do you realize what you told them? Paul says the same thing here. Do you Christians, do you children of God, do you recognize what billboard you're telling the unsaved people when you walk away from Christ? Do you realize? It's no wonder they don't think he's any good. It's no wonder they don't think he's powerful enough to take care of my problems when we don't show that he's big enough to take care of our problems. When we resurrect the eye, when we try to say, listen, I got this, I can do this, you're probably never going to send me to another men's conference because I want to go another hour. But anyway, when we understand the billboard we say or send without saying a word, don't say a word. They're watching. And my question is, would you, as Paul called them, you bunch of hypocrites. I've been a hypocrite in my life. Y'all been hypocrites in your life? I've been a hypocrite in my life. I know I have. I'll put two hands up. I'm 60 now. I'll put two hands up. First half of my life, second half of my life. I got more years behind me than in front of me. Just saying. When we look at what we're doing to Christ, was his death in vain? Somebody want to say no? Oh, thank you. Man, you're killing me. No, his death wasn't in vain. Then why are we living like it is? Why is that the billboard message we're putting out? Because we resurrect the eye. Paul very clear on this. He was very, very sure on this. So what do we take away from this morning? First of all, don't be afraid to confront error with truth. Just do it in the right way. Don't do it judgmental. Don't do it in a way that you can't walk away friends. Don't do it in a way, listen, we are to carry one another's burden according to Galatians. We are to carry one another. We are to help each other. We are to try to be like the bumpers for our lives and try to help each other through and say, listen, are you aware where you're heading? You keep going down this road. We need to be careful. Second thing we find in this life or our takeaway this morning, men's fear will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Man's fear. Listen, there's a good fear. That's fear in God, right? Proverbs 3, 5, 6. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we have man's fear, it will take you, it will leave you, it will cost you. Look what it cost Peter. Look what it cost their relationship. Look what it cost the Gentiles who were watching, saying, really? I thought we were one of you, and you're walking away from us, all because of fear. Need to be careful what that fear does to our life. Third thing, are we truly crucified with Christ? Have we settled the yet not I in our life? I'm going to encourage you, man. Let today be the day of your salvation if you don't know it. If you have never looked at the cross and never looked at your heart and said something's not matching up, our heart has to match the cross, and the only way that does that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ alone, it hasn't changed. Doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what family you're in. It doesn't matter what denomination. Denominations were created by men, okay? Not God. Period. We need to understand that this is all about the kingdom. This is all about God. It's all about Christ. So when we look at this and we do this, I trust that when we walk away today, one, you have solidified that if you would die right now, you'd be in heaven. And that way us down here can say, thank you, God. Not, oh, no. Listen, when you know what hell's all about, you'll be on your knees praying for the people you know. Problem is, we forgot about what hell's all about. When you pray for people around you, listen, it doesn't matter what person they are. It doesn't matter what they, very carefully said, identify with. It doesn't matter anything. They all have a soul that if Christ gets a hold of, they'll be exactly who God created them to be. That's where we need to pray. That's where we need to go. We need to be a part of. Are we truly crucified? Have you settled your yet not I? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the study today. We thank you for the whole service. God, everything lead towards you. Everything was a praise given to you. And God, I pray as we just come to this moment, this close, that we don't close our minds, we don't close our hearts, we just continue to look and think through. And God, you have done amazing things in all of our life. And we sang the song, you are so good. Your goodness, it came after us. It wants us. God, have we settled the yet not I in our life? Father, as we think through that and ponder that, I pray that everyone here today hears and listens to what you have for them for the rest of the day and for the rest of their life. God, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, has not come to that cross, has not given their life to you, God, don't let them leave. Convict them if needed. Set them down. May they set the pride aside and ask the questions. And God, may you be glorified because of it. Father, we thank you and we praise you in your Son's name. Amen. As we sing our final hymn this morning, let's